The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
I want to welcome everybody back. The regulars, thank you. Keep coming back. It's the reason we do the show. Tell your friends, anybody who's driving by and happens to catch it, or anybody who's been told and is joining us for the first time, thank you very much. We spend the hour talking about money. This is a very special edition today. I'm calling it Big Ticket Saturday. You know what that means?
You're going to talk about some big ticket items?
Yeah, and I don't mean a ticket to the big show either. Angela and Howard talked about houses. That's one of the biggest tickets that everyone talks about in their life and what many people do in their lives. A couple of the other really big ticket items would include buying a car.
Yeah, usually the second biggest purchase of anyone's life.
And who's going to talk about that today?
I will.
Well, how about that? But mine is going to be the third big ticket item, the one that not everybody thinks about in the same way that I think about it.
Your cell
taxes.
Phone. Oh.
Yeah, not that one. Bigger ticket for most people. Taxes, taxes, taxes. It's that time of year again. And I promise you, if you stick around and listen to this, you're going to hear some things today that you have never heard before.
You know what's interesting, though, what I can guarantee you? That there are 45% of this country that pays more for their cell phone than they do in taxes.
You do have a point, one being zero and the other being a positive number. You can't really be too wrong, can you?
No.
Well, today you're going to hear a discussion of the fair tax versus the flat tax. And I'm going to tell you why the flat tax won't work.
We talked about this in the office this week, and I think he's got some good points on this one.
Yep, and I promise you it's a take on this situation that no one else that I have ever seen or heard has ever come up with. And believe me, I am well-versed in this stuff. So stick around to hear it because it's going to be fun. I remind everybody that not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded. They come to you. You listen to whatever the host wants to say. Ours is a little bit different. We're here every Saturday morning live in the studio at 10 o'clock, and we're here to not only bring you some up-to-date market information and not only talk about the things we want to talk about, but also, if you would like to take some editorial control over the content, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 904-222-TALK, 222-8255, and we will put you directly to the front of the list, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. So if you've got some financial questions, comments, observations on the tax scene, the investing scene, anything you want to talk about, we're fair game to talk about it. Remember, there are no stupid questions. The easier the question, the easier it is for us, and we look better. So if you want to help us look good, please be our guest. 904-222-TALK. I'm in a good mood today. Everyone who has any money in the stock market's in a good mood today. Adam can't get the smile off his face today. So unlike some days when I come in here and I'm looking for a single word to describe it, sometimes it's thud and sometimes it's misery and all that. Today the word is wow.
Yeah, it sure was. So because of leap day, the month officially started on Tuesday. And so we're well into March and we've already had quite a good month. The Dow is up 3%. The NASDAQ and the S&P are both up 3.5% for the month. But for the week, it's a little bit different. The Dow is up just over 2.3%, the NASDAQ 2.8%, and the S&P 2.7%.
Yeah, so, wish we would have run out of February before we did.
Yeah, that darn leap day.
Yeah. But, didn't take long to get it back.
No, no doubt. So for the year, the S&P is now only off 2.2%, the Dow just 2.4%, and the NASDAQ, which had taken the biggest hit, is off 5.8%. But that's a huge difference from the correction territory we were in just a month ago or so. So not a bad run here for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
No, and the sectors that are driving this thing are interesting.
Very interesting. I'll get to that a little bit later. What I did want to say is that if you listen to this show, you know that we don't like to make big predictions about where the stock market's going to go, because we could take a guess just like anybody else, but we'd have the same odds of being right as everybody else.
And the difference would be we'd tell you it's a guess.
Exactly. What we do like to do, though, is we process vast amounts of economic data every day. That's what one of the things in our job, we read constantly, we listen to the talking heads and take that for what it's worth, because you do have to be able to tune a lot of that out. And then we decide what we think the economic conditions are for certain sectors and for the overall economy. And if you listen to the show, you know that we've been saying for the past 6 months or so that, guys, this isn't as bad as it seems.
No, well, in fact, we've done it several times saying, look, this is not 2008.
Right.
Although it's starting to feel like it.
Right. What all the headlines say? Oh, it's 2008 all over again.
Oh, yeah.
100% chance of recession. I saw that one this week, and it was Jim Cramer, who I really respect. That was a terrible headline, and
of the major differences between you and me. How much respect you have for Cramer.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Cramer, Jim Rogers. I meant Rogers.
No, I agree with you there.
Yeah, Rogers is a great guy. Read his books if you haven't. They're excellent, but, man, I just don't like seeing 100% chance of anything in a prediction, because you don't know that.
If you want to know what kind of guy he is, there's a book called Investment Biker, and it goes back to the 90s where he went around the world on a motorcycle and discussed country by country what he saw and what he thought about it. I tell you, folks, I learned a lot in that book. Investment Biker, B-I-K-E-R.
And he followed it up. He did the same thing in a Mercedes, and he called it Adventure Capitalist. Mm-hmm. So it's both good books.
He got a little smarter as he got older. He put a roof over his head.
Yeah, exactly. His wife probably said he had to.
Absolutely.
So we did see some other things this week. We saw the VIX decline to about 16.86, from 30 a month ago.
That's the volatility index. The bigger the number, the more volatile the market is.
And the more fear that there is.
Right.
And so energy has actually been leading the drive up.
It's
up.
Who'd have thought?
8% in March.
Who'd have thought?
In 4 days. Not bad.
I did.
Yeah. The price of oil has rebounded from 26 to somewhere around 36. We've also seen rebounds in technology, financials, and materials in the recent days. However, the defensive sectors like utilities and consumer staples have been lagging, and healthcare is another one that's been lagging. But one really great thing we've seen is that many of the stocks and ETFs we follow have crossed over their 50-day moving averages in a positive way, and that's a really bullish signal in case you're not familiar with how that works.
There's one that's kind of an exception in there to me, and that's this big run that we're on in precious metals, which I consider defensive. But it's also a harbinger of inflation. And what happens when oil starts its way back? You've already seen gasoline going up and up and up at the pump. It was in the 160s. It's 181 nationally today. So that sector is looking to me like it's going to start contributing to inflation.
Yeah. Actually, one of our biggest holdings, or one of our top two, it is within 3% of its 52-week high.
Wow.
Which is, just to put in perspective, the S&P is the closest to its 52-week high, and it's 6% lower. So you're seeing some really good things out there right now.
Time to rethink your asset classes going forward for a while. Speaking of energy, in the last 12 months, a whole bunch of rigs closed down. That's oil and gas land-based rigs, including 14 in the last week. What percentage has shut down overall since this energy problem started? This is a little lesson on supply and demand. We're going to talk about that. That is the trivia question. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call.
Call 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-750-4356.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-750-4356. That's 1-800-750-4356.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here with smiles on our face because it's been a really, really fun week. Our trivia question is out there since one of the things we're concentrating on today is the energy sector. And this is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Another 14 land-based oil and gas rigs shut down this week. In 1 year, what percentage of rigs have closed? And I think you'll be surprised. It's a little high. This is a lesson in supply and demand. And when we get close to that number, if somebody gets it right, we'll talk a little bit more about supply and demand. We'll also talk a little bit about why sometimes it's a really good idea to have a good financial advisor who won't share with you all the agony they go through every night watching the market. So they put a smile on their face in the morning and say, no, I think you ought to stick with it, which is kind of what happened this week. So, and I'm going to talk a little bit more just because, hey, we're having a good time this week.
Yeah, there was some really good economic news that came out this week that kind of correlated what we've been thinking. So, or supported what we've been thinking. The employment situation report came out Friday, and it pretty much blew the doors off expectations. And last month, the non-farm payrolls reading was 242,000 jobs versus an expected 195,000. And the last month's reading was 151,000. So as you can see, quite an increase. Outside of mining and manufacturing, job growth was strong across pretty much every sector. even construction saw an increase of 19,000 jobs. And if you remember my deal from a week or two ago, construction has been one of the hardest hit industries recently. So good news for that area.
And there's a wave of spring moving west to east in this country where places like Boston are going to see 68 degrees. You're going to see some housing starts pop now, folks.
Yeah, I would agree. One area of concern in the report, nothing huge, but it was the lack of wage growth this month. The expectation was that it would increase by 0.2%, and instead it dropped by 0.1%. So
there
something
is a
to keep an eye on.
Statistical anomaly that might have affected that. We won't really know till next month, probably. And if you remember last month on the whole jobs thing, I warned everybody that those numbers were pretty irrelevant because of the annual adjustments to the indices and such. And I said, wait till next month. If we get a confirming indicator, it's going to be very important. Well, we did.
Yeah, definitely.
Including the workforce participation. People are coming
just
back
getting
in.
That. Yep. And it's the fifth straight month of increases in that rate. So people are being attracted back to the workforce. And I think it has to do with wages increasing and the availability of better jobs as more jobs come open.
Yeah, and with the uptick in first-time unemployment claims, I don't worry about that right now.
So, yeah, I don't either. One thing I'd really like to hear about is from if there's a local business owner out there, I'd love to hear about your experience hiring employees, because all this data kind of says to me that there are a lot of open jobs and very few qualified people to take them.
So 600,000 nationwide just waiting to hire people
right. That
cannot find the talent.
Yeah. So if you're having a similar experience, tell us about it. Call us at 222-8255 and let us know. That would be interesting. The job situation was backed up this week by the unemployment claims, which came in at 278,000. Again, anytime you hear a number below 300,000, that's a positive thing. And the ISM manufacturing report also came in better than expected. After months of declines and missed forecasts, the report came in at 49.5, which is still under the 50, which signals contraction, but it was expected to come in at 48.5, and last month was at 48.2. So the contraction slowed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And the ISM services report saw a decline over last month, but still beat expectations at 53.4. So generally big expansion in the services sector still.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the nice thing about having people's expectations lowered. The numbers come in better.
That's true. Hence the earnings season.
I credit the possibility of Bernie Sanders taking over, but that's just me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Oh, great. Big ticket items. Angela and Howard talk about big ticket items every week. We do some consulting on real estate, not for buying and selling, but we do the numbers for you. It's one of the areas where investments comes into play, and they're pretty big ticket items. The next really big thing that most people buy is a car. And a lot of people buy a car for various and sundry reasons. You know, I see it, I love it, it's got a great paint job, any of those things. But what if you're doing it more on pure economics? And that's what Adam wants to talk about a little bit. I think you'll find some interesting things in here, as I did.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the true cost of car ownership. So one thing that most Americans have in common is that we own cars. Demographics don't matter. You could ignore race, religion, income, education, and just about everything else. Americans love to drive, and more importantly, we actually need to drive because our society is not set up to rely on public transportation or other people to take us where we need to go. According to the Bureau of Transportation, in 2013, there were more than 234 million cars and light trucks registered in the United States. There were just over 316 million people at that time, so we have 3/4 of a car for every person in this country.
Kind of like guns.
When you consider how many of those people are either too young or too old to drive, it's easy to see that just about everyone who can owns a car. I found a really good website called governing.com that broke the 2013 survey data into all the cities in the United States. In Jacksonville, there are 1.6 vehicles available per household, and for every 10 adults, we own 8.3 vehicles, and only 8.3% of households in Jacksonville do not have a car. These ratios were right in the middle of the national statistics, which surprised me a little bit because I figured in Jacksonville, being as spread out as we are, and the lack of...
If you don't have a car here, where are you going to have a car?
Where are you going to live that you can get to anything because everything's 40 minutes away by car?
Exactly.
My point in bringing all this up is that Americans love cars, but I think we are guilty of underestimating what it really costs to own them. I am constantly surprised by the amount of nice new cars on the road. I purchased my current car in 2003, 13 years ago, and have been looking at buying a new car, or at least new to me, SUV, recently. Needless to say, a nice SUV costs substantially more than my current SUV that I purchased 13 years ago. Based on my research, a decent, used, low-mileage, late-model SUV will cost between about $25,000 and $40,000. If you buy the same models new, the cost would be between about $35,000 and $50,000 if you stay out of the luxury SUV market.
But there's no inflation.
Right. In the luxury SUV market, believe it or not, you can pay above $70,000 for a car.
Oh, I know you can.
Unbelievable.
It is.
That's what houses still cost in some places.
Well, maybe you can live in it.
Probably not if you can afford a luxury SUV.
There's truth in that.
But it might be less than your house payment, or more than your house payment. So what are you really paying for a $35,000 SUV? The best metric I have found to measure that the true price of owning a car is the five-year cost of ownership. This is a great thing if you want to compare car to car, because some cars cost less up front, but actually cost you more over their life to own. The metric takes into account all the cost of owning a car, including the actual cost of the car, the interest you will pay on the loan, sales tax, registration, tag, depreciation, insurance, maintenance, fuel, and the various other hidden expenses that we kind of ignore when we're making that big purchase. It then looks at the residual value of the car after 5 years, or what you could recoup by selling the car. And all this stuff is, all those other things are very important, but where you really lose money on a car is during the depreciation. And the worst part about that is driving it off the lot. You can see up to 20% or so in the first year that you own a car of the value just disappear. So that ends up that is the biggest cost of owning a car. It's not what you pay for it, it's how much you can get when you sell it. So something to really consider. If you ever want to check that out, go to kellybluebook.com, and they have a great calculator that will compare these things, as does edmunds.com. And it's a little bit different metric called the true cost to own, but it's the same thing as a five-year total cost to own. So I did this for a 2015 Ford Explorer Limited, a car that has a fair market range between $35,000 and $37,000 in Jacksonville. And the results on the two sites were a little bit different. On the Kelley Blue Book site, it estimated the five-year cost to own this vehicle to be $52,163, which was about $15,000 to $17,000 more than the purchase price of the SUV. On Edmunds.com, the total cost of ownership for the vehicle was $48,412, which is a difference of over $3,700. And it turns out most of that difference was in depreciation again. So it really depends what you can sell that car for. The average of these two estimates is $50,287 to own this vehicle for 5 years. That is $10,058 per year. In 2014, the median household income in the United States was $51,939, which means that in order to afford a new 2015 Ford Explorer, the average household would have to spend almost 19.4% of their total income on this one vehicle. Yeah. Now, most financial planners will tell you they want to see your car and transportation expenses between 10 and 15%. I personally like to be around 10% or less if you can do it, but 19% is not really going to fly. And that's only for one car. The average home in Jacksonville has 1.6 cars. So you can imagine people are spending up to, say, 30% of their income on a car. And it's something you really need to look at if you're trying to balance your budget.
All right. Those are astounding numbers in some respects. All right. Lines are open. 904-222-TALK. 222-8255. We're going to talk about taxes after the break. Meanwhile, the trivia question is still open in the energy sector. In 1 year, what percentage of land-based rigs have shut down? This is what is leading to finally letting the supplies start to decrease a little bit while the somewhat recovering economy causes the demand to grow. What happens when that happens is pretty simple. The price is going to start rising, and you've seen it already, and it's estimated to get worse. So after the break, we'll take that and we'll get talking about some really important stuff that's just kind of fun. Don't go away. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
News, traffic, and weather. Updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 and FM 100.3. WVOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Dr. Ben Carson made it official last night in a speech at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, that he is officially out of the race for president. Meanwhile, voters in Maine, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Nebraska get to play their role today in the presidential nominating process. Much of the country in store for heavy rain, mountain snow, high wind, even flooding over the next several days. The culprit is a powerful system that'll drop several inches of rain on California, and conditions are especially ripe for tornadoes in the southeast and Great Plains. Federal prosecutors say shop owners in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Skagway, Alaska, have been charged with violating the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Act for selling fakes. Officials say four shops catering to Alaska cruise ship visitors sold whale and walrus bone carvings for $1,000 or more each that they falsely claimed were made by Alaska Native artists. For more details, go to srnnews.com.
AMCO presents Bet You Didn't Know. Today's subject, transmissions.
Bet you didn't know that your car's transmission is made up of 800 pieces. That means there are 800 things that could go wrong. 800 ways to make your transmission slip, your gears grind, or your clutches drag. Also, bet you didn't know that AMCO fixed over 40 million transmissions and all their 800 pieces, way more than their competitors, that they have over 50 years' experience rebuilding and replacing transmissions, and that AMCO offers a nationwide warranty. Okay, there's a chance you already knew nobody's more qualified to service transmissions than AMCO, but there's no way you knew a transmission had 800 pieces. Unless, well, maybe you work at AMCO?
That's AMCO. AA. MCO. Transmission starting at $19.95. Restrictions, limitations, and exclusions may apply. See AMCO.com for complete details.
For money-saving coupons in the AMCO location nearest you, visit AMCOJacksonville.com.
This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start Initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you can live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-418-0572.
Luke is in Jacksonville, Florida.
All right, we're going to start off by making a lot of folks mad. I'm a Southern white Christian who's retired from the Army.
Oh, my gosh. Hang up. All right, go ahead.
White privilege.
White privilege.
Hang up the phone.
White privilege. Godly privilege. He's part of the elect, and he's white. And there we go. Ahead.
I've been trying to find his white privilege, you know, for the last 30-something years.
I know. You know,
they must have run out before I got there.
It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Weekdays at 6 on News Talk WBOB. WBOB traffic and weather.
And everybody's privileged to have some beautiful roads out today. No traffic action to report at the moment, so let's keep it that way the rest of the weekend. Drive carefully, mostly sunny today. High 70, mostly clear tonight. Lows 48 for Sunday and Monday. Sunny skies. High tomorrow, 71. Up to 75 Monday, mostly clear Sunday night. Low 51, it's up to 60. Right here in News Talk AM 600, FM 100.3 WBOB.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour, side number two. This is Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we have all kinds of stuff left to do. The segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, because things are growing. Even though it's a little chilly, it is beautiful. The sun is shining. Call Troy at 662-9794. Lines are open. Give us a call, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Well, taxes are on people's mind, and I've got to tell you a little bit about the power of radio first. I had a wonderful experience this week. A lady who is a friend of the company dropped into the office this week, and we'll tell you more about the office before the show's over, too, but she mentioned, I caught the show on Saturday. I said, well, good. How'd you like it? She said, well, I heard you talking about the IRS PIN number, personal identification number. So she's a cautious type, as we all should be, and several of us are. She said, so I went online and got one. I said, well, you just can't imagine how nice that makes me feel, because just having somebody hear that and take responsibility for that part of their financial lives is a wonderful thing. If you don't have one, if you don't know what it is, give us a call.
And I don't think it'd be right to not thank Carol for calling in with that question last week.
That is absolutely true, too.
Which was about the IRS PIN number, which is what brought it up in the first
place. That is indeed. And you can't be too careful, folks, especially living in Florida and Georgia, and for those of you in Washington, D.C., this is where the scamming's taking place. I have article after article in my stack of stuff today. How to know when you've got a hacked bank account. What are the current tax scams? Tax scams are up fourfold. It's just getting ridiculous out there, folks. You can do something about it. You have to take the initiative to do it. Well, the American nightmare, the annual nightmare, is beginning again. It's tax time. I know April may seem a while off, but it's really not in the big scheme of things. I want to give you a couple of quotes from some people I consider reasonably intelligent. Albert Einstein said, the hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax. Arthur Godfrey, I'm proud to be paying taxes in the United States. The only thing is, I could be just as proud for half the money. I like that. Lyndon Johnson, that icon of conservatism in America. In 1790, the nation which had fought a revolution against taxation without representation discovered that some of its citizens weren't much happier about taxation with representation. I'll go along with that. Well, in my mind, it's 1776 again. And here's why. It's an election year, so everybody has a new tax proposal, right? Democrats' proposals are really simple. Tax the rich. Use the same old complex tax code we have. Raise taxes. Add surcharges. Limit their deductions. Gather more money. Redistribute it to people who don't have any. Well, the Republicans are a little bit more ingenious than that and a little bit more economically spot on, but I contend that most of them are just flat out overlooking some fairly obvious things. You're hearing now some people want to simplify the tax code. Good luck. You're hearing we want the flat tax so there won't be an IRS. Wrong. Yes, a flat tax would be an improvement. Yes, simplification would be an improvement, but not much of one. What's wrong today is, as Herman Cain likes to say, it's not fixable. You don't tweak it. You have to get rid of it. And that's why my argument today is that the only way to fix this is the fair tax. Now, I know in southeastern U.S., I think because of the influence of Neil Bortz and John Linder, who was a congressman, what they had 8-10 years ago was really an educational campaign so that a lot of people learned about the fair tax. A lot of people nowadays are growing up not knowing about it. There is a book, now you might have to write this down because the name is so complicated. It's called The Fair Tax Book. It is still available at places like Amazon. You can get it on the Kindle. Sarah and I have read it at least 3 times each. Everyone should read it at least once. When you put it down again and think about it today, you'll probably want to read it again. It makes so much sense. What's the difference? Well, today's version of taxes is that you tax income. The fair tax would tax your spending or consumption. Now, why do I say that the fair tax or the flat tax won't work? How much tax do you pay? And this is not a trick question. It is your income times a tax rate equals your tax. Now, isn't that simple? That's why the people who support the flat tax say, well, we can simplify this whole thing. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you give me your income, I can look up your taxes in about, 4 seconds. You can either go to the tax table or you can multiply the percentage out. And that's that. Now, if you think you're paying a CPA or a tax preparer, H&R Block or somebody to calculate the amount of your taxes that you owe, you are really wrong, because you can do that. I can do that. Anybody can do that. What do you really pay tax preparers to do? To calculate your income, your taxable income. Taxable income times rate equals taxes. Now, let's look at where the complexity of the system is. Let's say that the tax code is about, 74,000 pages? About right. I think you would be absolutely mortified if you knew what percentage of that tax code was there to tell you how you must calculate your income. So let's start really simple. Stay with me here. It's simple, at least on paper. Individuals file tax returns using a form 1040 and its simplified cousin, 1040EZ. Let's start with the EZ one. This is for people who have no dependents and only the simplest tax situation. So you've got a line for wages, salaries, tips, taxable interest, unemployment compensation, and Alaska permanent fund dividends, which people down here don't get. These are generally derived from a W-2, which your employer has to produce every year at the employer's expense. The W-2 contains a huge amount of information, including your ID, employer ID, total compensation, compensation for Social Security, Medicare wages, tips that count for Social Security, federal tax withheld, Social Security withheld, Medicare tax withheld, allocated tips, dependent care benefits, non-qualified plans data, information about benefits, state and local tax data, and Obamacare information. The calculated total is called adjusted gross income, from which you subtract personal exemptions and the result is taxable income, and from there you apply a tax rate to it, and that's what you owe. That's the simplest thing that any American can do. Did not sound that simple to me, for your employer or for you. All right, let's move up a little bit. Now remember, it's 1776. What happened in 1776? We decided that taxation without representation was terrible, and we revolted. See where I'm going? Now, bear with me a little bit. I know some of this sounds complicated, and that truly, folks, is my point. Let's start with a simple real-life situation. You, your neighbor, I guarantee you know somebody like this. A married couple, both work traditional jobs, both receive W-2 forms. They have their taxes withheld. They're raising two children. They're saving for retirement and for the education of their children. They own a home, have a mortgage, insurance, a couple cars, and all the traditional wants and needs of a middle-class American. Now, we got a situation that's really complicated. It doesn't seem right, but it is. We have now above-the-line deductions. We have below-the-line deductions, taxable interest and dividends, and non-taxable interest and dividends, contributions to IRAs, some deductible, some not. 401k contributions. How about you Social Security recipients? You get to do a two-stage computation to see what percentage of Social Security benefits are taxable. Isn't that special? What could possibly go wrong? Oh yeah, and remember this too. I'll finish this after the break, but if you make a mistake in all that complexity, you can become a criminal. You can get fined. You can have your money confiscated, and you could spend time in jail. That is what could go wrong. Now, we're just getting started, so I'm going to add a little what I call simple complexity into that formula after the break. Not everybody works for the man. Not everybody gets a W-2. Now we're going to talk about what I mean when I say you pay your tax people to calculate your income. It's very interesting. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after a short break. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start Initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you can live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-418-0572.
Non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. But doctors have recently discovered they are unable to reverse or control serious side effects, such as internal bleeding caused by Xarelto. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Call now if you or a loved one was hospitalized from any form of internal bleeding or stroke after taking Xarelto. You may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. There is limited time to file a claim, so call now. Call 800-961-5842. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842. Again, 800-961-5842.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have one more segment left. And before I get jumping right back into the tax situation, Adam has another little thing to bring to you about Big Ticket Saturday. This one having to do with?
With housing.
Yeah.
So normally we leave that up to Angela and Howard, but this was pretty interesting and I thought it was relevant today. There is a statute of the Florida code, statute number 193.703. It is called the Reduction in Assessment for Living Quarters of Parents and Grandparents. So what all that means is that if you have natural or adoptive parents or grandparents who need a place to live and they are currently own a property that's homesteaded in Florida and you want to build or improve your house to accommodate them, as soon as they sell their house and you've put extra money into your house and they move in, you can actually apply for a reduction in your assessed value of your house to go back down to where it was previously so that you don't pay extra taxes. For instance, if you build a structure on your property that to house your elderly parents, and the tax man comes out and assesses your value, says it's worth $80,000, and your taxes are going to go up. But once they actually move in and sell their homesteaded property, you can apply for the reduction in that assessed value so that you will not pay extra taxes to house your elderly parents or grandparents.
How about that? Now, yeah. The more conspiratorial among you might think that I found that and gave it to him. It no, is not true.
That is not true. It was actually brought to me by a client who is in this exact situation and had heard about it and went and did the research and brought it to me. So thank you for that.
And it actually turned out to be true. Very interesting to me. And there is some justification because you're trading in one homestead exemption for what is sort of equivalent to a homestead exemption.
Correct. So they're going to get their money once your parents sell their house. The tax base goes up on that to the new owner, most likely. So they're going to get their money.
Sometimes lawmakers come up with something that actually makes sense. All right. What percentage of land-based drill rigs closed? 222-8255. All right. Now, we talked about people who work for other people and get a W-2, but how many people in this country work for themselves? Sole proprietorships, sub-S corporations, LLCs. Well, a lot of us are just small business people who have revenue and we have expenses. We report income on either Schedule C, Form K-1, Form 1120-S, you know, partnerships for one. These are very complex accounting forms and documents, and it's all about establishing your income, that part of which is taxable. I ran this idea past a CPA last weekend because it had been coming to me that this is crazy. All this flat tax talk is crazy. They're oversimplifying something that can't be oversimplified. And she didn't think about it very long when she agreed with me. She said, what you pay us to do is to calculate your income. Anybody can calculate taxes, as I said in the other segment. Taxable income times some percent, which is your tax rate, equals what you owe. Well, I'm not going to pay anybody to do that. It'd be crazy. Now, what happens when you've got a 74,000-page document and you drop all the other rates but one? You delete a few pages. You delete the pages that have the different tax rates, and you delete the pages that where you look it up if your income's low enough. Well, now you've still got 73,000 plus pages of tax code. You really didn't accomplish much. Okay, you say some people have these proposals where you either have no deductions or you have the charitable and or the mortgage deduction. Well, that is literally nothing, folks, absolutely nothing in the big scheme of things. The deductions that matter to a lot of people are your business expenses if you're working as a sole proprietorship or a small business. Now, here's the bottom line. Tax preparation is about the calculation of income. In my life, I have never heard a politician say that. Have you?
I have not.
I don't think anybody really thinks about that. I'm quite sure, and believe me, I've been involved in economics and taxes for decades and decades. You might even think I'm old. Well, maybe I am. That's why I gave Adam that thing on the housing. No. Not really. All right. Now, here's where the fair tax really takes over the argument about tax reform. Income calculation of all sorts is completely irrelevant. Who cares? The only thing that matters is spending. Spending's up to you. And the only thing that matters in your spending is whether you buy something new or something used. If you buy something new, you pay the fair tax. If you buy something used, you don't. That's it. You cannot get rid of the IRS with a flat tax because they're going to tell all of us little business people exactly what we can and cannot deduct, what we have to depreciate, how fast we have to do it, if we get any credits for buying anything. All that stuff is in the calculation of your business income, which then slides over to the first page of your tax reform, and you still have above the line and below the line deductions, all that. It is absolutely not going to happen because it can't. So, under the fair tax, you really can eliminate the IRS, and in fact, you not only can, but you do. It is part of HR 25 and S 25, which are the fair tax proposals, which have a lot of sponsors. They do not get implemented until the IRS goes away and the 15th Amendment, 16th Amendment that allows the income tax, it's repealed simultaneously with implementing this. So nobody can tell you, well, Congress will just do both. It is absolutely categorically impossible. Now, just think what happens if we have the fair tax. Since income calculation is irrelevant, there's no 1040 EZ, there's no 1040, there's no W-2, there's no Schedules A, B, C, D, Form 1120S, or any other form. There are no retirement plans, no IRAs, no Roth IRAs, no 403Bs, no 457 plans. April 15th is a beautiful spring day. There's a lot less Americans going to jail. We all have more take-home pay. And CFPs or CPAs get to exercise a whole range of skills that they spend now preparing rather mundane tax forms. The government winds up smaller. Isn't that wonderful? Well, in my mind, it's 1776. There is so much about the fair tax that's easy to demagogue. I'm going to give you a few highlights and tell you what they lie about when they try to take the power away from Washington, or they're afraid you will. The fair tax is regressive. That's an argument. Well, that's false. There's a prebate for every family in this country. Lower income people pay absolutely zero fair tax forever, and they have more income to spend on it.
And what a prebate is, the government actually sends those people a check every month so that anything like they pay in taxes is covered.
Like I get my Social Security check, the prebate would come in too. Another argument, it favors the rich. False. The more you make, the more you spend. The more you spend, the more you pay taxes. It doesn't favor the rich. It is absolutely, what's that word? Fair. Word that's been co-opted by the left, by the way.
It actually does favor thrifty people.
It does, absolutely. But that's a choice.
Yeah.
Choice. Another big one. Well, prices will rise 23% because of the tax on new goods. False. About 22% of everything you buy new is a combination of embedded taxes. Think of the lowly pencil. How many people made money before you bought that pencil? Somebody cut down a tree. Somebody chopped it up. Somebody formed it. Somebody mined some graphite, formed that. Somebody made some metal to put around the band. Somebody vulcanized some rubber eraser. Then somebody manufactured the thing. No one person in this world can make a pencil. That's an interesting statistic that I like.
Nor tell you how it's done.
Nope. But that pencil has had profit built into the price. The profit from the wood, the profit from the processing, the graphite profit, the metal profit, the rubber profit. All those profits are built in before that pencil is manufactured and sold to you. And the people who sell it to you make a profit on it too. So let's say that pencil costs 10 cents today. Without having all those embedded taxes, which would not be paid under the fair tax, that pencil might cost you 8 cents. Now you add an embedded sales tax to that, and you're going to pay 10 cents, maybe 10 and a half cents. You'll have all the money from your paycheck, 100%. There are no deductions. Folks, you've got to learn about this. I encourage everyone to Google fair tax. It's one word, F-A-I-R, capital T-A-X. The book is marvelous. Everyone in the country ought to read it. All right, in the past week, 14 more land-based oil rigs shut down. In 1 year alone, 61% of the rigs shut down. That's why production is getting lower. That's why the price bottomed out. And that's why I believe it's coming back strong. Darn it, we're out of time. Got more I'd love to say. Please join us again next week. We'll talk about maybe a little more of this and some other relevant things. Don't forget to tell your friends. Thanks for listening. You are listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.